Welcome to our Bible ministry here at Grace Baptist Church. We now enter our Sunday school time, a Bible study. Just an FYI for you concerning Sunday school. I will be going into the hospital for hip replacement this coming week. I really do pray that I will only be gone one message. We'll see how that works out. God knows, and God will bless in whatever way He seems right. I trust that. I pray that you will pray for me. I'll be praying for you. Today, Christ knows who is reprobate. Christ knows who is reprobate. Reprobate means rejected. In biblical terms, God leaves those whom He rejects alone in their sins. This is exactly what the reprobate want, to be left alone by God, to enjoy sin for the season of their individual lifespan on earth. The worst thing for any of us would be for God to leave us alone in our sin. No one should want Jesus Christ to leave them alone. But that indeed is what most people desire, the vast majority. Not only is Christ the Savior, and there is no other, but He is also the judge who will cast the reprobate into eternal torment. Christ already knows who is reprobate. I want to start in John's Gospel. Chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Now when He, Christ, was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs which He did. What kind of belief, what kind of faith was that? I think you see from the very next verse. But Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew all. I think most of your scriptures have the word men inserted there. It's not in the text. Christ not only knows all about all humanity, but Christ knows everything, folks. He is the Creator. He's God. He's all-knowing. And again, that word commit is actually the same Greek word as we see in that first verse, many believed. You know, you could also say from that, Christ did not believe in them and had no need that anyone should testify of humanity, for He knew what was in humanity. Folks, He knows you and I from top to bottom, from side to side, for all eternity. You can hide nothing from Christ. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows what's on your mind. Now I'm going to move to John chapter 8. We're going to be looking at this whole chapter. You might want to follow along with me. I'm reading from the New King James Version, so there are some differences. And then I take the liberty at times to change a few things to fit a more literal translation. I'm starting at verse 2, John chapter 8. Now early in the morning, He, Christ, came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him. And He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. They interrupt his teaching. They present Christ with a very serious situation. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher," this is very important, folks, because these Sadducees, these Pharisees, excuse me, Pharisees and scribes, never really did know Christ Jesus, but wanted to always place him in an inferior position, and they wanted to prove that. They were up to no good. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." I'm sure that was true. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" Again, these folks had bad intentions, and that's proved right away. This they said, testing him. And see, folks, they're missing something once again. You don't tempt the Lord your God. You don't test the Lord your God. "This they said, testing him, that they might have of which to accuse him." Again, bad intention. "But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground." And now mark what I'm going to say, "with the finger." I think most of your scriptures have "his" inserted there. If you look at the literal, the word "the" is there. And it should be there. It's very pointed because it points back to Exodus 31:18. The two tablets of the testimony, the law of God, written with the finger of God. Jesus acknowledging his divinity here. If you have eyes to see, see this. Writing with the finger on the ground as though he did not hear. Another translation of that would be, he did not acknowledge their presence. He went right on displaying who he was, who he is, God. "But when they continued asking him, having raised up, and he also said to them, 'He who is out, who is without sin among you, let him, the one without sin, let him throw a stone at her first.'" And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, repeating to show his divinity. Those of you who have eyes to see, see this. "Then those who heard, being convicted by conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last." Now listen to this next sentence. It's extremely revealing for you and for me. "And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." Folks, that's the way we all have to deal with Jesus Christ. We need to deal with Christ in Christ alone. Again, no one is going to gain eternal life for us except we deal with Christ ourselves, as this woman is doing. "When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of you, of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her," now folks, do we have eyes to see again and ears to hear? "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." In that context, folks, only God can do that. He again proclaims his divinity. That is much of what we see in John chapter 8, we will also end seeing that very, very clearly. Then Jesus spoke to them, these scribes and Pharisees, again saying, "I am the light of the world. The one following me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He continues to proclaim who he is, but look what the Pharisees go on to say. "The Pharisees, therefore," because he spoke of himself as the light of life, "said to him, 'You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true.'" Christ's answer here is overwhelmingly interesting and 100% true. Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going." Remember, folks, this is God in the flesh speaking. You can never, ever forget that. "You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." Remember, too, as was stated by numerous people in the New Testament that heard him, he spoke with authority. "And yet, if I do judge," now listen to this, "my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." Remember what I told you about the word "with"? It means close upon. And with Jesus Christ, it means one with. "But I am one with the Father who sent me." Now that's very interesting, because look what he goes on to say. "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." Now this is where you and I are not going to comprehend completely. "I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." And folks, what were they looking at? They were looking at God the Son. And if they saw God the Son, you see God the Father. You got two in one. God is one. Yet we have two witnesses here. Now, if you can understand that, you're a lot better than me. And I wish you'd text me, email me, do something to let me know what the answer is there in its fullness. "Then they said to him," now listen to this, "where is your Father?" We've heard this around this church many times before. They didn't know God from third base. Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father." Oh, that's a fearful thing. To hear from the one true God, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Another evidence, clear evidence, if you'll see it, of his divinity. "Then Jesus said to them again, 'I am going away. You will seek me and you will die in your sin.'" Now, you know, he said part of that to his disciples, that "you'll seek me, but you won't find me." But he didn't tell them, "You will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." You will die in your sin, folks. This is reprobation. This is rejection from the mouth of God. So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself? Because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come.'" Now, the Jews, that's the people there as well. And let me say this. This is a false presentation they have here. Will he kill himself? Because we're going to see as we move on, Christ tells them, you seek to kill me. Keep that in your mind as we go on. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. That's judgment, folks. That's finality. You will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, it is a great misrepresentation to insert he there. This whole chapter is concerning his divinity. For if you do not believe that I am, and we're going to put a big exclamation point on that as we end this chapter, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am God, you will die in your sin. Now, folks, these are scribes and Pharisees among these people. They knew the scripture. They had the Old Testament scriptures. They had the Pentateuch, where God proclaims, I am. And Christ is saying the same thing. He is that God from the Pentateuch. Then they said to him, who are you? Again, don't know God from a hole in the ground. That's not a smear upon God. It's a smear upon them. They wouldn't recognize God if they saw him because he was standing right before them. And Jesus said to them, again, when they ask, who are you? Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. As he has demonstrated in this very chapter. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who has sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of humanity, I know that bothers some of you when I don't say Son of man. There was no man involved in Jesus Christ's birth. He was birthed by a woman, but he was impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God, not by man. Yes, he was the Son of humanity. Then you will know that I am, again, throw that word he out. He's not saying I am he is saying, then you will know that I am, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Now there where he says, when you lift up the Son of humanity, let's look very quickly at what he was saying to them. He said, when you lift up the Son of Manity, you'll know that I am. Romans 1, verse 4. Speaking of Christ, declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. When he was lifted up on that cross and died and buried, he was resurrected from the dead. And those with eyes to see knew they were dealing with God. And he who sent me is with me. Once again, one with me. Christ. One. The Father has not left me alone. Christ and the Father are one. for I always do those things that please him. They were of the same mind, of the same will, of the same substance, the one true God. As he spoke these words, now listen to this. Remember what we read over there in John chapter 2 about he knew what was in humanity, and as he spoke, many believed in him. What kind of faith was that? Well, we're going to find that out right here in this context. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Remember our title now. Jesus knows who are, knows those who are reprobate. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. Think about that for a minute, folks. A people who had been in bondage to numerous nations. Of people who were presently in bondage to Rome. Such spurious statements, as spurious as their faith. How can you say you will be made free? Well, Jesus answers their foolishness with the truth. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever is committing sin is a slave of sin. Is committing is very, very important. It's a present participle. It means whoever is doing, whoever is committing sin presently and continuously is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. A son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. What, again, he's speaking of being free from the bondage of sin. You no longer continually commit sin. It is no longer your way of life. And friends, if you are apart from Jesus Christ, sin is the way of your life. That's the long and short of it. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Remember I told you about that earlier? These are people who had professed to believe in Christ. They are quickly proving their hearts to the one true God. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Those to whom he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. Indeed, he says, my word has no place in you. He knew they were reprobate. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. And he's going to explain that in a few more verses here. They, again, the Jews who believed in him spiritlessly, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Losing my place here. But now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Twice he has answered these people who supposedly believed in him, you seek to kill me. You do the deeds of your father. You know, we can say a lot of things, folks, but it's what we do that makes the difference. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Now, I would suggest to you that we were not born of fornication was again a dig at Jesus Christ in his birth, having been born of the Holy Spirit, and folks realizing that Joseph had not had relations with his wife, they would have accused Mary of having an illegitimate child, making Christ illegitimate, being born of fornication. But that, of course, was not the case. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Again, he proceeded forth and came from God, proclaiming his divinity again. If you have eyes and to see and ears to hear. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Now, this next verse, we need to look at extremely close. These people who had claimed to believe in Christ, Christ said this. He had told them about the father they were like earlier. Now he says, you are of a father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. That was their desire. That was their will. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. They are his children. Now listen to this closely, Christian. To be a child of Satan and so designated by Christ is proof positive of being a reprobate, rejected by God, left alone by God, just exactly what the reprobate want. That's what they desire, to be left alone by God. Now, people of God, we walk according to the devil for a season, but we're never his children. The elect have been God's sons from eternity. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Listen up. Hard to understand, but totally true. Now I say, the heir. Are you an heir of God? As long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now listen to the next verse. And because you are sons. Folks, that's talking about eternal sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. because you are sons, is speaking of the elect from eternity. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. John 10:27. Put an exclamation point on this. Christ said, my sheep, these are these sons he speaks, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In these verses we're reading now, he's talking to people that don't know, and he doesn't know them as far as them being sons. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. They hate the light and love the darkness, as John makes clear in John chapter 3 of this very book. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? My goodness. He, now listen, where are you and I today? Who is God talking to when he talks to you and I? He who is of God, that means born of God, hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Both they were reprobate. I take no pleasure in saying that. It's the truth. Christ has repeatedly proved that and told them so. Then, the Jews. Who are these Jews? These are Jews who had believed in him, answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Saying this to the Son of God, the one true God, after they said, we believe. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Oh, that's a bad place to be, folks. And I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Now, that's an interesting statement, and I'm just going to give you my take on it. There is one who seeks and judges. Christ doesn't seek his glory alone. He seeks the glory of his Father as well. And the one he speaks of there is himself and the Father. They are one and the same. And of course, folks, I'm not forgetting the Holy Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father. God is one. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Listen up. A lot of people think, well, we're not going to die physically. That's not what he's talking about. Then the Jews said to him, the Jews, these same Jews, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Christ is talking about the second death here, folks. Those who believe into Christ Jesus may die physically, but they will not suffer the second death, which is eternal torment in the lake. Jews go on in their attack against the Christ. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Oh, Christ is going to give them an answer on that. are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? My goodness. Listen to what Christ said very clearly. These people, these religious folks who have professed a prior belief of sorts, who are now seeking to kill him, he's going to give them a clear answer to when they again accusedly say, "Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." You know, Christ was meek and mild. But friends, he had no fear. Not of this kind of thing. He was firm. He was Lord. And he spoke the truth. He was in control. He was in control. Yet you have not known him. You don't even know this one you call your Father. But I know him, and if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Let me read from John 5:36 quickly here. Turn back a few pages. John 5:36. Speaking of John the Baptist, who had borne witness to the truth, that was a testimony from man. Listen to what Christ said. But I have a greater witness than John's. In other words, John's witness of me, a testimony from man, though it was worked by the Spirit. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. They should have known that, folks, from the works that he did. But they still rejected him. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now listen up, because he's going to answer them. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw and was glad. How did Abraham see his day? By faith. By faith. Just as you and I do. By faith. We've not seen Jesus Christ. We see it by faith. Then the Jews, these same Jews, folks, these reprobates, said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, listen up, we're closing. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." As he had said repeatedly to them in this context, before Abraham was, I am, eternal God, the great I am. Now look at their reaction. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so remember the woman alone with Christ. You and I alone with Christ. Who do you say? Christ is the living God, the Son of God, the only Savior. Look unto Jesus.